service that John did a little while back. Can anybody remember what it was about?
Had a planning meeting this week and somebody managed to remember it, so that was a Cambridge sign. It said, God made us, we were made something, something, something. Can anybody remember what it was? It will be embarrassing if I have to ask John. So if anybody can remember, put your hand up, please. Yes? Made in God's image. Excellent. So Mary was listening. That's good to know. Okay, so if we recap, we've hopefully got Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27 coming on the screen. I haven't got my little screen down here, so I can't see what's going on. We read that it says that God made us human beings in his image. And do you remember what that meant? It meant that we're made a little bit like God. It's not that we are God. It's not that we can replace God in some way. But there's parts of God's character that he's put in us. And he's made us so that if when we see us, when we see human beings, we can see like a little picture of a little bit of what God is like. And we saw that he made us male and female, so he made us boys and girls. And they're different people. We're different as boys and girls and mums and dads and male and female. But nonetheless, we're equal in God's sight. And we're made to reflect God's image. So that's what we talked about last time. Well, we're going to go on a little bit further on in the story of creation. And we're going to see something that God created man and women for. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It's a bit annoying that I could do this better. Julian, don't worry. I was going to say something to set this up. That would be helpful, but don't worry. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. That's from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. If you want to look it up in your Bibles, they're just underneath. So you'll see that we were made in God's image. We were made to be a little bit like God, but not just that. We were also made to be given something to do. Okay, something to do. Now, I want to put hands up here. Okay, hands up. This is for the grown-ups as well as the boys and girls. Hands up if you like work. You're allowed to put your hand up. This isn't a trick question. Okay, right. Now I'm going to get you to be a bit more specific. Okay, hands up if you always like work. Oh, somebody over there. Good. Okay, that's good. I'm like some people always. Hands up if you like work quite a lot of the time, but sometimes it's really a bit of a drag. Okay, that's certainly where most of the congregation seems to be at. Hands up if you never like work, and we'll come and pray for you afterwards. Okay, sorry if that's the case. I hope that this will be an encouragement to you. Okay, so we all are, and there's different kinds of work, isn't it? Some people here, who goes to school every day and does work at school? Who goes to school? Okay, some people there. Oh yes, Mim as well, that's good. Okay, who works at home? Who does work at home? Some people doing work at home? Okay, great. And who goes to work to go to work? I do that. Okay, so we've got a mixture of all those three things, okay? But all of that is work, and some of it is good and some of it is bad. Okay, just think to yourself a minute, what are the things that I like about work? Have a think to yourself, what are the things that I like about work? Somebody's shouting out, that's good, yeah, okay. Being paid, okay, that's always a good thing. Anyone else like to say things that you like about work? Things that you enjoy?
Being with other people.
Okay, work can be sociable, that's good, yep. Anything else?
Gives a rhythm to your day.
Okay, gives you a rhythm, something like that. Anyone else, any boys and girls, tell me things you like about school? Surely didn't ask me some things. Yes? What was that, sorry?
When it's time to go home.
Okay, that's always a positive, even if you're not enjoying your work. Now, just have a think to yourself. Okay, thank you very much. Just have a think to yourself. What are the things that you don't like about work? What are the things that are really annoying? Okay, over here, yeah? When it gets into a scribble, when you can't get it right, isn't it? Isn't that really annoying? When you go in, you think, I'm going to get this right, I'm going to do this really well, and then it just maybe you're not very good at it, or maybe something else happens and it goes wrong, and you're just like, oh, I had great plans for this, and it's all gone wrong. Anything else that you don't like about work? Yeah, again? Doing the wrong numbers. When you try and get those numbers right, you try really hard, and you try and make them all add up, but they just won't add up quite right. That's really annoying. Did you want to say something? Lunch? You don't like lunchtime? I like lunchtime. That's a good part of work. Okay. So God's made us. And the reason why we like work, the reason why work can be enjoyable is because actually we're made to work. We might not think that sometimes when we get up every morning and we're going to school and we're thinking, oh, I really don't want to go to school. Or maybe we're thinking, why do I have to go to work again? But actually, there is a sense, good work can bring us a sense of purpose. It can bring us a sense of meaning. And it can help us to help others. And that can be a very satisfying thing to do. And I hope at least some points in your day, or at least in your career, you've had those moments when you've really enjoyed the work that you're doing. But then sometimes it also seems that there's something that's not quite right, doesn't there? There's something that's gone wrong, and it's frustrating, or it's difficult, or other people make it hard, or we just don't enjoy it, and it becomes a real drag. And we sometimes sit there and wonder, why is work like that? Well, the Bible tells us that God is a God who works. Do you ever think about that? And do you remember, who are we made in the image of? Who are we made in the image of? God. Okay, so what does that mean about us? That we work as well. So God is a God who works, and we work too. I'm going to show you that from the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 2, the verses a little bit further on. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Now the Lord God had planted," that's work, "a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord," I think I've got this now. "And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Do you notice two things that God did there? First of all, he planted a garden, and then he made trees grow out of it. Now, both of those things are work. So God is a worker. God works. Secondly, let's have a look at Genesis 2, verse 15 together. We see, what does God then do once he's planted this garden? He says, "The Lord God took the man that he'd made and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To lie back and sip his pina colada and just enjoy himself all day." No, it doesn't say that. To work it and to take care of it. This is before the fall. This is before all these things went wrong. God gave them a job to do, and he wanted them to do that. And so we can see that actually work is a good thing. Work comes before the world got into a big mess when we all said no to God. I want to do my own thing. We're going to live our life our way. Actually, God made us to work, and that's why work can be an enjoyable thing. But something, of course, has gone wrong. We'll come to that in just a minute. So if we're thinking about work as a good thing, then how can we work? What sort of work that we can do? Should we work so that our work pleases God and so that it's pleasing to us as well? What's the principles of good work, of satisfying work? Well, all work, I would say, will fulfill the two big commands, the two big laws God has given us. He's given us two rules about how to live, which cover everything that we do, and they also cover the world of work. They're here in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 39. And this is somebody talking to Jesus. And this is what Jesus says about everything, and therefore about work. He says, somebody says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And so when we're working and we're working right, then our work will actually fulfill one of those two commandments, or maybe both at the same time. It will be loving God, glorifying God in some way, showing how amazing God is somehow in our work, and it will also be loving our neighbour as ourselves. It will be loving other people and helping them in their lives. That's what good work is all about. And we'll come and think about that with some illustrations in just a minute. Now, something's gone wrong, as we said. I'm not going to spoil somebody's thunder that's coming up next time, but something went very wrong. People said no to God. They said, "We don't want to do your work. We don't want to do work your way. We're going to do things our own way." And they made a big mess of the world, to be honest. And they also made a mess of work. And I'm not going to go into that because that will spoil the one we're going to do in a few weeks' time. But they made a big mess of work. But I'll tell you something. Because of Jesus, if we come to him and we're sorry for the things we've done wrong and the way we've messed up our work and everything else in our lives, then we can be redeemed. We can be brought back. And the Bible says we can enjoy meaningful and purposeful work again. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to not enjoy going to school every day, that it's not going to be hard work if you become a Christian or trust in Jesus, that things aren't going to be hard. But instead of serving yourself and saying, "I'm going to live life my way," you'll be serving Jesus. And the Bible says that if we work for Jesus' glory and for other people's good, if we're working for him instead of for ourselves, and if we're trusting in him, then work can be truly satisfying and it can be truly meaningful once again. So we'll come back and think about that, what that might look about like in a little minute. Before we could do that, perhaps we could have the music group coming up again, please. One of the things that God has given us to do here on this earth, one of the pieces of work he has given us, remember that verse we looked at where it said that we had to fill the earth and subdue it. We have to look after and take care of the world that God has created. And that's one of the things that we have to do. And so to remind us of that, we're going to sing this song. It's a very familiar one, but I've changed the words slightly. In Psalms 8, it tells us that God has put the world in our hands. So normally we sing this song as he's got the whole world in his hands. But actually he's put the world and each other in our hands. And when we're working to look after one another. Now, I was told by the all-age planning group that this was a good idea. I wasn't sure about it, so if it goes wrong, it's their fault. But what we have, no, it's going to be fun, is a large world. Now, as we do it singing this song, we've got two worlds. We've got a small one and a big